Very well done. I'm always amazed by song leaders and the ability y'all had to get by with that. I sometimes wonder if I start to preach the lesson, says, you know, I think I know this lesson, but in case I don't, just go ahead without it. You know, without, I don't think it works quite that way. But anyway, it's good to see everybody here this morning. Beautiful day outside, and our families, our visitors, we appreciate you being here. I know it's a long weekend, Memorial Day weekend, time when people stop and think about those who have fought in wars, those who have given their lives and protected the freedom we have, so that we come together this morning and to worship God without fear, without molestation. And so we appreciate those who have done that. And we have some here that have. I'm not going to mention names because, quite frankly, I'm afraid I miss somebody and leave you out. But we do appreciate, I appreciate those who have served. Before I get involved in the lesson, I do want to read one little note here. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, act while I grow. John and I are so overwhelmed and touched by your generosity and kindness. We thank you all wholeheartedly for the money we were able to purchase the perfect glider for our son's nursery. We will think of each of you fondly as we use it. John and I are so excited to be able to bring our little one to Loud Grove soon to meet you all. With much love, John and Noah Lindsay." And so that's a note they wanted me to read. I told Noah the other day, I said, "You realize that whenever this child starts coming, that I just want to get as far away from you as I can. I'm not ready for this. Emotionally speaking, I'm not sure I know how to handle this. But anyway, we are looking forward to it. At the same time, I'll say we're looking forward to it, the coming of that child. This morning, what I want to do is I want to look at this lesson. Let me see. Did I forget to turn this on? I think I did. Okay. But it is based on what we just had read for us a minute. Whenever it shows up, you'll see what I'm talking about. It's Malachi, the first chapter. And in that chapter, God is pointing out that the children of Israel were lacking the proper attitude in serving him. The honor and respect, he said, is deserving of him. And he points out that they were willing to show honor and respect towards others but they're willing to show honor and respect. He said, "A son honors his father and a servant his master. That if I'm a father, where's my honor? If I'm a master, where's my respect?" says the Lord of hosts. And so that is the problem he has. And I'm having all kinds of problems here. Let's try one more time. There we go. Finally. Okay. But what we're talking about this morning is honor and respect then. And as you notice on the outline, it says part one. That's because we have like 745 other parts of this lesson, which means when you all come back in 10 years, 5 years, next year, we're going to be on whatever part that is. But what we're talking about is something that's really lacking today in our society. Somebody has said that we as a people are suffering through HRDD, Honor, Respect, Deficit, Disorder. And then you start thinking about it, there's not too much today that's really held up with a sense of reverence or a sense of honor to it. In fact, Deborah Norville wrote a book, and this person talks about reviewing the book. And so he says, "I jumped at the chance to write about Deborah Norville's new book, The Power of Respect, Benefit from the Most Forgotten Elements of Success. I want a validation of my belief that there's been a decline of respect in modern life. Boy, did I go to the right place." A survey in Norville Science shows nearly 80% of Americans agreeing that lack of respect and courtesy is a serious national problem. 8 out of 10 Americans don't agree on much, so this must be serious. And it goes ahead and says, of course, 2009, again, this is a little bit dated, 9 years ago, but has not improved since that time period. But it says 2009 has been a banner year for disrespectful behavior. What with Kanye West refusing to let Taylor Swift accept her own award at the MTV Video Music Awards, Serena Williams threatening to shove a ball down the line judge's throat, and of course Joe Wilson screaming, "You lie," in the middle of the president's speech. As you look at that, you think about the fact that it used to be there were certain, again, institutions, certain people that people were taught to have respect for. It used to be teachers. But I know my parents that they didn't have much of an education, weren't able to go to school, so we were taught that teacher is somebody that has gone through the educational system, has gotten their degrees, they deserve to be called Mr. and Mrs. and be taught with, react with respect towards them. Or maybe it used to be police officers that you saw one and there was a sense of respect you had for them because they were risking their lives so as to protect you and your safety. Or it may have been simply a case of when the national anthem was playing and everybody was stopping, nobody be talking because, again, a strong respect for the nation, for those who serve our nation. And yet we see that a lot of times that really isn't happening much anymore. And so we look at honor and respect. What we're going to do, first of all, is simply define what we mean by this. It says the English noun, honor, means high respect, esteem. The verb is regard with great respect. So again, it may be somebody you respect because of the ability they have, because of what they can do. In fact, and it says in the Greek, honor basically means to attach high value, worth, or importance to a person or thing. Well, the honor of particular people, we are saying that who they are and what they say carry great weight with us. They're extremely valuable in our eyes. Just the opposite is true when we dishonor them. Because in an opposite effect, it's true when we dishonor them. In effect, by verbal or nonverbal statements, we're saying that the words or actions make them of little value or lightweights in our eyes. Who among us have not seen or maybe experienced the idea that when you're talking or somebody's talking, you see other people just kind of the body language, kind of rolling in their eyes, kind of communicating to you nonverbally that they're really not listening, that they really don't pay too much attention to what that person is saying. That's the idea opposite of honor. When we honor somebody, we do pay attention. We do listen to them, and we do respect their comments, and we weigh it in our minds of making decisions. Again, that may be somebody because they have the ability to fix a car. You may respect your mechanic because they know how to diagnose a problem and fix it. Or it may be somebody that has gone through great lengths of learning a skill set, doctors. To think of a doctor that can perform surgeries that they do today, we talk about working heart transplants or heart bypasses or back surgery or foot surgery. And to really, like my doctor, to literally rebuild my left foot. And the whole process of that just astounded me. And so you look at somebody and you do have a sense of respect because of what they have learned to be able to do. And so in defined respect, it says, the English noun respect means a feeling of deep admiration for someone or something elicited by their abilities, qualities, or achievements. The verbal, admire someone or something deeply as a result of their abilities, qualities, or achievements. To respect is to have a differential regard for someone or something because it's worth or value. Again, it's simply the fact we understand the importance of that, that they can do things that we need done or that we need to pay attention to. And so all this is part of honor and respect. Now, synonyms for honor and respect include esteem, regard, high opinion, admiration, reverence. Among verbs, esteem, admire, defer to look up to, appreciate, value, cherish, adore. And it goes ahead and talks about even worship, put on a pedestal, think highly of, to hold in high regard, hold in high esteem. I remember one person talking about a certain preacher and said that his wife thought this preacher hung the moon. And understood that's a phrase of great admiration for that preacher. And so we look at this, also would mean then the idea of honestly of this dishonor, disrespect, to have contempt for, despise, scorn, disregard, and disobey. We'll just be honest with these things. When you look at the idea of honor and respect, though, you have to realize that there is a distinction, and really they work together as far as how we feel and how we act toward people or towards things. For instance, when you look, you find, and God talking about the nation of Israel. He said, therefore, the Lord says, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, they have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. They were saying the right things. They could talk about how much they love God. They could talk about how much they reverence God. You look at the reading we had in Malachi a few minutes ago. The children of Israel in Malachi, they were going and they were worshiping. They were offering their sacrifices. But God points out what they were doing, though, is they were complaining while they were doing it. They were not really doing it from the heart. They were offering poor sacrifices to him, sick sacrifices to him in many cases. And so he recognized that while there was the outward appearance of respecting God, honoring him, inside they couldn't care less. Inside the hearts were far removed from him. And so that's why he points out to us. When you think about this, as far as how we treat each other, in 1 Peter 3, verse 7, it's talking about the husband giving honor to the wife. Now, what does that mean? How many times maybe we say, I love you? How many times we say, well, yeah, I really do honor my wife, but then what if you don't, as far as action? Now, she knows the difference between saying it and really doing it. What if you're always complaining? What if you're always nagging? What if you're always downgrading? Then that really is honoring the wife. And he says, when we honor the wife, we're going to have to do it both within, inside, and also in our actions, the outward manifestation of honor. His wife pointing out to us also. In Acts 10, 20th chapter, and this one, Paul was shipwrecked on the island of Miletus, or Malta, actually. And he talks about the fact of what they had done for them, how they took them, they fed them, they put them around fire, and they, again, were listening to the Paul as he spoke. And he just simply mentions, says, they also honored us in many ways. There's many ways we show honor to other people. And so when we think about honor, we have to understand that we feel honor and respect. It's possible that we can feel honor and respect and not act honor and respectful ways. We may try to cover it up, in fact, as far as our son. And I've tried not to use Eli too much as an example because he's really a very good young man. But I always remember that, now Eli, one time we went to school with him, his teenage years type, 10th, 11th grade. I always remember getting out of the van to go inside the school and Eli turning around and saying to us, now pretend like you don't know me. Stay as far away from me as you can, is what he was saying. Why? Because seeing with one's parents as a teenager is about as uncool a thing as can happen, right? I mean, no teenager really wants to be seen by other teenagers as really liking their parents. Although most of them I tend to think really do. But they want to keep it a secret, especially from their peers. And so there may be a case. Now, again, he never acted in a dishonorable way. He never ridiculed us or disobeyed us intentionally, anything like that. And so he acted with honor with us, but with other people, he really just kind of like, let's not get too carried away with this honor business. Or just liking each other's business. And so there's a case that we may feel it, but we'll not show it. Then on the other side, one may act in honoring and respectful ways, but really not honor respect. It's the old idea of the teacher with a child, and the child is misbehaving, and the teacher says, puts him in a corner and says, sit down. And the child says, no. And the teacher goes to the child and puts him down on the shoulders, and boom, they go down on the chair. And the child says, I may be sitting down on the outside, but inside I'm standing up. And you know, that may be the case here where we may put the hand over the heart when the national anthem is being played. Or we may look at somebody and call them yes sir or no sir or yes ma'am, no ma'am. But we may not really inside be honoring that person. Although outside it may appear to be so. And so it could be that. And in the case of servants. And the masters, that how many instructions do we have in the Bible as far as how Christians were to treat their masters? In 1 Peter 2, verse 8, servants, be submissive to your own masters with all fear, not only to good and gentle, but also to harsh. Think about how hard that would be. That you are a slave and you have a master that is a cruel, bad master that doesn't take care of you like he should. And what is Peter saying to us? He says, you still serve them. You still serve them, and you serve them with all fear. That's the idea of reverence in that word. Not talking about cowardice now. And again, you think about, that's a harder thing to do, but he said, that's what I want you to do. And as far as how you are to treat your masters. And so there's something we have to work at sometimes. In fact, the Bible points out to us that we sometimes have to develop, have to work at it. And it's kind of like this circle right here. Somebody says, how do I show honor, respect of somebody when I really don't feel it? How do I do that? Yesterday, I had a Bible class and was talking about respecting the government authorities. And there's one section there, and one point there that the teacher was making as far as, what if you don't like the President of the United States? How are you supposed to be, what's your reaction supposed to be to that person? And we may think, well, you know, I just despise, whether it is the current president or the past president, somebody may say, you know, I despise that person so much that I could not do that. Well, how do you show honor somebody that you may not really respect? And the point is, you act with honor and respect toward them, but also you have to realize that if you act with honor and respect toward them and really mean it, that's going to change how you feel towards that person at the same time. And if you feel that honor and respect on the inside, then you want to act with more honor and respect for that person. In other words, there's times we have to work at it and it becomes a cycle where we can improve ourselves, how we think about people, about how we act towards them. And so we have to work at it. And maybe like, how many of you have had maybe a car you haven't really been using much and just been in a driveway and think, I'm going to get rid of it. However, to get rid of it, you have to kind of fix it up a little bit. So you may go out there and wash it up. You may kind of get it polished up and go inside and vacuum it out and kind of do some detail work on it, put new tires on it. And after you get through with it, you look at it and think, you know, that's not a bad car after all. I think I'll keep it. And maybe just one of those things that you work at it and then you realize what you have is actually pretty good. And so when we look at honor and respect then, we have to understand God does not want us to honor and respect certain things. And in those things we look at, and things of this world, he does not want us to honor respect. Over in Luke 16, verse 14 and 15. It said, now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard all these things they did deriding him. And he said to them, you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts, for what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. There are things this world loves, and the things may not always be sinful of themselves, but the world loves it in sinful ways and elevates it to a point that God said, I don't want you to do that with these things. For instance, look at this, may think human beings. And we think, okay, hold on, we're talking about honor and respecting each other, honor and respecting God. What do you mean human beings? I mean the idea of elevating people to a point we become our own gods. We become our own deity. Over Isaiah 2, verse 22. If you would turn your Bible with me, that passage. I did not put it up here on the charts. Isaiah, the second chapter, and verse 22. And there it reads, it says, sever yourself from such a man whose breath is in his nostrils, for of what account is he? What's that? Well, he's talking again about there are people who stay away from the person who tries to make himself into their own God. He said, you stay away from that person. That's not to respect that. I may look at things such as fame. The rich and famous, right? The Kardashians. I don't know who else you put in that list of LeBron James. I mean, people that are famous people. And sometimes people really give them the benefit of the doubt, right? They get the extra treatment because who they are. When Pat Boone was a member of the Worst Church in younger years, I'm told that when we show up at services down in the Nashville area, that brethren would just follow themselves and talk about him and use him as a great example of a Christian because he's famous. Leviticus 19, verse 15 says, you shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. In righteousness, you shall judge your neighbor. What's that? Equity, equality. I don't want you to consider somebody as special because they're famous, because who they are, what kind of power they have. It's no, I want you to be fair with each other. Money. Now again, money's not evil in itself. But a lot of times, as we had read for you a few minutes ago there, Luke 16, chapters 14 and 15, that some people elevate money. That's what their life's all about, as the big dollar sign. And maybe power, prestige. Bring somebody that is a person of capitalism, one that the engineers of a great company, and other people automatically will elevate that person. And maybe outward appearance, looking great. Now again, there are people that have great looks and everybody falls over themselves to that person. I remember years ago, I was a reporter for, I believe, ABC News. Well, I used to watch ABC News. And she wasn't unattractive, but she decided to try this little experiment. She dyed her hair blonde. And then that night she went out to the places in New York where everybody wants to go. You know, the nightclubs, the restaurants, where the inn people go. And she went and she noticed that when she stood in line, because again, they're the very popular restaurants and nightclubs, and so there's a line of people wanting to get in, that the person in charge of letting people in would come to her very quickly and says, come on in. And she said, once she got in, she was treated special. People talked to her, gave her drinks. The next day, she dyed her hair back to its normal color, dark brunette. She went back to the same nightclubs. That night, guess what happened? She stayed in line. Nobody gave her a shortcut. Nobody treated her as special. And the point she's making is simply how superficial our society at times can be. And again, there's nothing wrong with outward appearance. Somebody that's handsome, somebody that's pretty, nothing wrong with that. But somebody points out that in 1 Peter 3, verse 3 and 4, said, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. But rather, let it be the hidden person of heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. One of Regina's cousins married a very pretty young lady. And they started having their family. I remember somebody one time came up to her and said, you know, you could be a model. Her response was, I just want to be a model mom. And I thought, that's pretty good. And that is, she had the right priorities. So outward appearance, some people elevate that sex, the sexual desires and trying to conquest other people. That some people elevate that in their life. Athletic ability. To think of what some of these athletes can do. The amazing ability of the professional athlete. It doesn't matter what sport you're talking about, either golf or basketball or baseball or football. The athletic ability is almost beyond comprehension. But we have to understand that those things, if we're going to honor them as the world does, as the world elevates those things up above God, and part of the reason is, and becomes a form of idolatry and does not honor God. Because that person that has that, where did it come from? Over in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 12. And here's David. And David said, both riches and honor come from you. And you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand is to make great and to give strength to all. Well, you have great ability, have a great mind, have great looks. Where did it all come from? Did you just win the DNA lottery of life? He said it came from God. And so you need to give God the honor and glory because it came from God. And not only that, but also it is worthless and can become deceptive. Those things that people often elevate are really very temporary. For a few years, you may have that, whatever it is. But he said, it's really, again, vanishing, flees away very quickly. Psalms 42:4, verse 2 said, how long, O sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love worthless and seek falsehood? How long will you elevate things that really are not of value, true value? And not only that, but also they are unfulfilling, even hurtful. And the person, some of these things actually are bad for us, or can become bad for us. How many times have we known? What thing was last week? When I was in college, one of the players for the Philadelphia Phillies by the name of Lenny Dykstra, outfielder for them. This last week, he was going back to prison. Why? Because he grew up thinking he could do whatever he wanted to. There's a young man by the name of Bubba. Bubba, I met him when he was in college down at the University of Florida. He played football. Offensive lineman. 6'8", 320 pounds. His parents were members of the church there. Bubba grew up doing whatever he wanted to do because he was big enough to do whatever he wanted to do. Nobody stopped Bubba. However, eventually Bubba got stopped by the police and drugs. Bubba was in and out of prison for many years, and Bubba finally died in prison. Some of these things are hurtful for us. Proverbs 26 verse 8 says, like one that binds a stone and slings, he who honor gives honor to a fool. There's the illustration there that we may not automatically, you know, understand. We understand when David with the sling and that piece of leather and you hold it in your hand and you let go one end and the rock flies out towards the subject, whatever you're aiming at. And they were really good at hitting things. David killed Goliath with it, right? But what if that stone is bound? What if that stone doesn't release? And it comes right back at you. Hits you. And so that's also what happens. He gives honor to a fool. You have to be careful what you honor, is what he's telling us. And also, it cuts off from God. Psalm 66 verse 18. For regarding iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. So those things are things we need to think about. And also, we influence others to do the same thing. People tend to honor what you honor. We kind of follow each other. If I see people giving honor to something, I tend to want to honor that also. So what does God want us to honor and respect? What is he wants us to honor and respect? Let me give you these three things. There are three categories. One is him, his son, and the Holy Spirit. He wants us to show honor to those things. We're here this morning. Why? Why are you here this morning? Some people may come to church because it's where everybody else is at. It may be a nice, cool building this morning, and it actually may get you out of the hot sun. It may be a place where we have our family time, but we can all get together and see each other. And those are things that may be true, but that's not the reason why we should be here this morning. The reason we should be here this morning is because we want to honor, respect, and worship God. That is the primary reason we're here this morning. And the reason is because God is our maker. Over in Revelation 5 verse 13, this great throne scene, and it says, every creature which is in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, are heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb forever and ever. To God, the Creator, to the Lamb, our Savior, he says, ye are to give them honor and glory. And because God, he is our Maker. In Revelation 4, verse 11, ye are worthy, O Lord, to receive honor, glory, honor, and power, for ye created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. He said, we give honor because without God, we wouldn't even exist. He made everything we have around us. So we need to honor him because of what he has done in his creation. But then also says, we need to honor him because God has been so good to us. We have received blessings that are in many ways beyond comprehension. Again, Revelation 5 verse 12. It says, worthy is Lamb who has slain to receive power and riches and wisdom, and strength and honor and glory and blessing. You think about what the Lamb did, what Jesus did when he came down here upon earth to leave heaven, to live here, but to be despised and treated and hated and be ridiculed and to be nailed on a cross and all that so we can go to heaven. And as Romans 5 verse 8 says, while we're still enemies of God, he did that. He said, we have been treated so good by God. And not only that, but also to be honored by God, which may sound a little bit strange. But actually, God honors those who honors Him. In Malachi 3, verse 16, it said that those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who fear the Lord and meditate on His name. You see, the Lord recognizes those who honor Him. And so we want to be honored by God, we have to recognize who God is to honor Him. And I'll add one more thing here, and that's to be blessed by God. To be blessed by God. And Proverbs 3, verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns be filled with plenty and your vats overflow with new wine. Again, I understand, especially in the book of Deuteronomy, there is the correlation between faithfulness to God and physical possessions, physical blessings. To the nation of Israel, there's that correlation. However, I really sometimes wonder when you read a passage like this, if that's really not the whole emphasis, that really isn't the emphasis of this passage at all. And when those today, like the Joel Osteens, have talked about the health and wealth ministries, they miss the point. And that is, think about this. If you want to be honored and blessed by God, if you want to have plenty of barns, what do? Serve God, right? If you want to be blessed by God spiritually, what do? Serve God, and He will bless you spiritually. And so we need to keep that in mind. Also, so we don't get what we deserve, that's punishment. Is we need to honor God. And so we don't hurt people we say we love. Because again, we're not providing them a bad example. And so we'll treat others the way we ought to treat them. Over in Leviticus 25 or 35, it says, if one of your brethren becomes poor and falls into poverty among you, then you shall help him like a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with you. Take no usury or interest from him, but fear the Lord your God, fear your God, that your brother may live with you. So here we have the situation. You have a brother here that is poor, destitute, and he borrows money from you. Let's say you're a capitalist. And he said, I don't want you to take any money for them. Okay, I don't want to take any interest from them. Why? How many of us would say the reason is because you'd be a good neighbor? That's not what he says here. The reason he says because you fear God. The good neighbor comes afterward, but fearing God. So that's why this person here may not be a good neighbor, but he still did because you fear me. You honor me when you do this. Then also, he says we're to honor other people. Honor other people. Because people have an immense sense of value. And 1 Peter 2, verse 17 says, honor all people, not just those you like. Value them, respect them, even people you don't like. Say, you ought to honor that person. Again, notice here, because fear of God is involved in this here. And the reason you are to do this is because they have immense value. That person over there you don't like, that person has a soul. And that soul, according to Matthew 16, verse 26, he said, what profit is the man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for a soul? How many times we read that passage? And we apply that to ourselves in the sense that my soul is worth more than all the world. If I gain the whole world, but I lose my soul, I've lost everything there is of value. But apply that to the person's soul too. Because their soul is just as valuable as your soul. And so that's how we need to look here. Everybody's soul is more valuable than the whole world that we live in. And this means then that we need to think about that. A college professor was given a test, and an observer noticed that as the class was going through the test, they were getting down towards the end of it, and every student started shaking their heads. And they left that question blank as far as he could tell. So he, after the test is over with, he went to the professor and says, what was that last question? He said, the last question he gave on that test was, tell me the name of the janitor of this building. He said, every day, those students come in and see this guy sweeping the floors, taking care of their bathrooms, changing out the trash cans. And every day, he has his name tag on. He wanted to know. He wanted to know how many people pay attention to that janitor. That's a good point. And then also, people tend to honor and respect and act positively towards it. When you treat people with honor and respect, they react in that way too also. There's a story about a man named Johnny Lingo. A guy decided to go out to the Pacific Islands, do some deep sea fishing, diving for pearls. The cluster islands out there, so he landed on one island, and he asked almost the first day, who would be a good guide to get? And they said, Johnny Lingo is the best guide on the island. They also said, by the way, if you need barter for something, buy something, he's also good at bartering and buying for you. He's a good one to get. But he said, well, he noticed that when the guy said Johnny Lingo, his son started laughing. So after about 2 or 3 days on the island, he noticed that whenever Johnny Lingo's name came up, they laughed. Kind of smile, like some kind of inside joke. And so he finally one day asked the guy, he said, now, what's the story behind Johnny Lingo? Because everybody smiles. You're telling me he's a smart guy, good tour group guide. Why is everybody laughing? He said, because you see, in our island, there's a custom. When a man decides to get a wife, he has to go to the father. And on our island, there is a custom of how many cows a wife is worth. If she's really pretty, then she gets about 3 to 4 cows. If she's not quite that pretty, then she may get 2 to 3 cows. And we can guess what one cow wife, okay? And so he said that Sarita was her name. Her dad found out Johnny Lingo was going to come and barter for his daughter for a wife. And so one of the guys said to her dad, said, ask for 3 cows because Johnny's going to offer her 2 or 1, he may get 2. Johnny Lingo shows up. Johnny Lingo says, I'll give you 8 cows for Sarita. And nobody could believe it. 8 cows for what men would consider a one cow wife. Her dad took the deal. That's why they were laughing. And he said, well, why did he do that? I mean, the writer of this article asking this guy, telling the story, why did he do that? And the guy said, nobody knows. He said, we can't figure it out. He's good, you know. And he said, well, he just kind of chopped up for love. You know, don't know what people do for love. So he decided they'll go meet this Johnny Lingo. And he goes over to the island Johnny Lingo's at and sits down with him and starts talking. Johnny Lingo says, so how'd you find out about me? And he said, well, people on the island, he said, talking about you. And so Johnny Lingo said, oh, they're talking about me, huh? What are they saying about me? And he said, well, they said they're talking about the fact that you gave 8 cows for Sarita. And he said, good. They know I gave 8 cows for Sarita, huh? Yeah, that's good. And at that point, he thought, was this all just vanity? Was it all because Johnny Lingo wanted to be known as the guy that gave 8 cows for a wife? Was that all it was? Well, about that time, Sarita came in and he said he looked at her and she was beautiful. They described her as somebody that was hunchback and didn't look in your eyes and really didn't take care of herself very much. And here she walked in and said, she was a beautiful lady. And when he walked down, he said, who is that? He said, that's Sarita. He said, that's not what they were describing on the island. He said, I'll tell you why I gave 8 cows for Sarita. How would you feel if you were a wife and all the other women were around talking and one could say, well, my husband gave 3 cows for me, another one said 4 cows for me, and she would have to say, my husband gave 1 cow for me. He said, I want them to know that she's an 8 cow wife. And she is. That's honor and respect. And so he showed that in that sense there. In 1 Peter 3, verse 1, it says, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even a son do not obey the word, they without word may be won by the conduct of wives, when they observe your chaste conduct and accompanied by fear. Again, people tend to respond positively when we act with honor and respect. And not only that, but also to be peacemakers. Our souls depend on it. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. The way we treat each other affects our prayers, affects how God responds to us.
And so we are to respect other people because also our happiness depends on it. And honorable respect of people honor us and respect us when they find out we're that kind of person. Let me give you one last one here, and that is, the Bible says, we even the animals will be treated with value. Over in Proverbs 12, verse 10, it says, the righteous man regards the life of his animal, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. Again, I believe in treating animals fairly, kindly, good stewardship. Cruelty to animals never okay. But I think this passage is one of those, really, that's not the point of it. And that is like Paul in 1 Corinthians 9 chapter, when he's talking about paying the preacher, that we kind of touched on just a little bit this morning. And he talks about Old Testament passages about the ox, that while the ox is treading out the crush of the grain, the ox can eat while he's doing that. Why did God say that? It's because otherwise the ox wouldn't be able to eat. Growing up, we had a pony dad worked in the garden. Every time we got to the end of the road, that pony would scoop down and get some grass and start chewing on it. Would he not have done that if God hadn't said it's okay for the ox to eat while he's working? I submit that didn't matter to the pony one bit. He still would have done it. The reason he says that because that's a principle we need to apply to ourselves. The same thing here. And that is, if you regard the life of an animal with respect, you know, one about the person. That we treat people the way we are taught to treat them. And that even applies to animals. And so he said, that's what we're to do. How does one honor God today? Well, by doing what God says to do. By respecting his word, by obedience to him, by hearing the gospel, believing Jesus, Son of God, repenting of our sins, confessing Christ, being baptized for remission of sins, and then living faithfully. That's what God requires us to do. So this morning, if you need to respond to the invitation, don't think you're honoring God by just showing up. You honor God by doing, by attitude and by obedience.